So with your permission, we're going to do this part in Spanish. I hope that's all right with everyone in the audience. If not, as Stroptalo just mentioned, we have a simultaneous interpretation. So just raise your hand and they'll come to you with equipment.
So I should say, Madam President, that with your high-quality English, your English is better than the English that is spoken today at Brookings, because you know Brookings is a very global think tank, so we have people here from every corner.
Tenemos aquí personas de todos los rincones del mundo. Y por eso tenemos el programa de América Latina. La idea es que Brookings no sea simplemente para Estados Unidos, sino también para todo el mundo. Y ese es el trabajo que estamos haciendo, especialmente en el contexto de esta región. Gracias por sus comentarios. Let's change to English. ¿Pueden escuchar? Can you hear in English? Okay. Thank you, Mr. President, for your remarks that adds a lot to the conversation we had in the morning, that, as I said, is a conversation that seeks most of all to position Central America in the Washington agenda, and especially within the administration and the Congress. Central America is a very relevant topic that attracts more attention every day because of its complexities and challenges. And so your presentation shows that there is a good understanding of how to do things in Central America, and it is an admirable republic as a showcase. We are now opening the floor for everyone to ask questions. Please be brief, introduce yourselves to get information. This is being recorded. We are now open to questions and comments. Mike? I'm Diana Castañeda. I'd like to ask the President, she was talking about tax reform in Costa Rica to try to collect funds to fight organized crime in Central America in the corridor between Mexico and Colombia. Are you taking other measures in case this does not get passed in Congress? Which reform did you mention? Oh, the tax reform. Okay. We can't pick and choose when you have a taxation system. You either cut or collect. At the end of the day, you have to do both, and you seek more efficiency in the public sector, and from that point of view, we're doing our best to do more with less, and we are sending a message of austerity to the population of Costa Rica at this juncture. I also recognize that public expenditure is quite rigid. Most of the resources are committed to salaries, pensions, and servicing the debt. So little is left. So we don't want to sacrifice infrastructure investment or social investment. That is a big mistake countries make when they do that and they create debt in the long term. So we favor strongly our tax reform. It is not easy for any country, and that tests the political system, the maturity of the political actors, the ability to negotiate and to face corporations and unions and their interests. They will have to give in to the social pact that is being built, and the discussion is not easy. I have to recognize that the political dialogue is quite robust. There are more political parties that are surfacing, and the actors are numerous, and the dialogue becomes more complex, and we are insisting on a new phase wherein, after hearing the parties, we are sending a new text for the tax reform that would not sacrifice three items that are essential. One, to try to collect at least 2% of the GDP through the reform. And number two, we would like to end with a system that is simplified and ensures transparency for tax collection. And third, that the tax burden does not prevent us from being able to reform the system. Any more questions? I'm trying to have a conversation on Central America mostly. And interesting comments were made. Someone said that crime does not recognize borders, but the administration does know where are the borders. I am from Colombia, and I wonder what would have happened to Colombia if the departments of El Valle, Antioquia, would have been other countries. That would have been difficult to handle. So understanding sovereignty, how can we make progress in the fields of justice, police, security within Central America? How can we coordinate within countries, with other countries? In general, there are claims of lost sovereignty if a country wants to cooperate with friendly nations. And that comes up with a certain degree of demagoguery. But so, especially when these are small and large nations, for instance, the treatments for stewardship of the environment of basins. And one should be reminded that sovereignty is already being disputed by the drug cartels and other factions. So we have to think about this. We're not only losing ground because we cannot negotiate the sovereignty that is lost, but being taken away by intimidation, corruption, and the loss of institutions that lose ground to these cancers. So we should leave those schemes aside, undoubtedly. We need to negotiate with intelligence, make it a contribution to the regional dynamics, and to redefine our strategy. Central America is having a discussion with the financial institutions about how to ensure effectiveness in a regional setting. I have been the architect of the first phase of regional cooperation within the region. In the last 15 years, I was the Minister of Safety when we started with these regional programs with the U.S. for joint patrolling. And I'm afraid some of it has been limited to treatments and agreements because we have not been able to translate that into action. And we haven't promoted enough joint training and creating even personal ties with key players at the police level, the Minister of Justice, and other agencies to ensure that those instruments are used. Undoubtedly, the challenge is to go beyond the thought that if one nation solves the problem, that's the end of the problem. It is not. Crime never disappears, but surfaces elsewhere. And we see that in the region. We do celebrate the effort of Colombia, a heroic one, but we see the unintended effects of the relocation to other areas. That's the balloon effect, as we know it, that the problem ends in one area and it appears in another area, so we look for a systemic solution. David Lewis, Manchester Trade, member of Caribbean Action. We were discussing security and trade at the regional level, and one of the comments was the success of the international trade for Costa Rica and the effective integration of the private sector for trade. One of the missing pieces is the integration of the business sector in the security agenda. We know that next month there's a security summit in Guatemala, and there is a participation of the business sector, not only from Central America, but from other countries that have business in Central America. And I'd like to see, to hear your views as the president and how we can continue to make progress in terms of the participation of the business sector in this agenda. Should we hear other questions as well? Okay. Good afternoon. I'm Lina Correa, Voice of America. I want to go outside the economic issues, and I'd like to ask, what are your first impressions about the inclusion of Costa Rica in the Human Rights Commission, and what are the challenges that it faces in terms of security, and what does it mean for the treatment of human rights, a problem that is included in the whole landscape of regional safety? Another question to finish this round. Good morning, Rogelio Paudo Laure. I was Under Secretary for Defense of the U.S. Attached to that. It's ironic because we don't have an army, but we all fight for peace. My question has to do with how Costa Rica relates to China. If in San Jose, for instance, the new stadium donated by China impresses everyone there. Roberto Artavia had mentioned that this is a creation of AID, that he got a scholarship from and funds to establish the library. How do you see these kinds of donations, this type of competition? Obviously, Costa Rica is an important investor for China. What words do you have for the U.S. in terms of this relationship? Let's stop there. We have a certain diversity here. Yeah, we have enough material. I should say that the business sector in Costa Rica is showing signs that it wants to belong to something, certain participation with the citizenry. That happens when a country reaches certain problems that affects the flow of investment and economic growth and opportunities. So there is the awareness that we want to do something about it, and The administration is designing a strategy so that everyone can participate, because otherwise the danger for security could be that people take this into their own hands. And if we have too many initiatives that can run counterproductive to what the government is trying to do. Part of the problems that Colombia had to overcome was the issue of the paramilitary. And if the private sector feels that the government is not responding, then they want to do things their own way. And it is key to have the government initiative to include everyone and give everyone a role to play. The same goes for Central America. The Business Federation is also interested in being a part of it. In terms of the vote for Costa Rica to be part of the Human Rights Council, we are honored by that decision, and that is a tribute to our history and work against for human rights, and it's a commitment looking into the future. We have firm resolve, and we want to continue to work along these lines. Now, as to security and human rights and the, for instance, personal freedoms, it is key for each society to find its own balance based on the circumstances. We cannot have freedoms taken to extreme or have disdain for security that may curtail freedoms. So each society has to find its own balance. It's not a general recipe that applies to all. And if we are to decrease or to curtail freedoms, we have to do it based on clear rules that ensures they will be applied to all of those who violate the rules. We cannot have decisions that are whimsical, that we are losing freedoms in two officers whose rules are not clear when they face circumstances. In terms of Costa Rica and its relations with China, we're very happy about the stadium, I must admit. It's a very beautiful thing for us. And that was a gesture from China on the occasion of the beginning of relations with China. You may know that we had relations with Taiwan and not with China, and 2-3 years ago we started having ties with China during the Arias administration. And Costa Rica, it does not base its relations with other nations on what we're going to get from it. And the spheres that we have access to because of our size is we don't have access to many programs. We want trade and not aid, as we said, and we are mostly interested on our international policy of trade as engine of growth, and it's we are only 4 million plus population with a small market, and any country represents an opportunity. And if we're speaking about China with such a large market, that's an excellent opportunity that we think does not run counter to market opportunities with the U.S. or any other nation, the EU, for instance, that we are discussing. Speaking about trade and not aid, if you look at the FTAs with Panama and Colombia and how much that was delayed in the U.S., what's your opinion about that? Well, seeing, looking at the opportunities that we have a need for, we would like to have had that approved, and we're doing many things right for the last few years. Colombia undoubtedly has overcome a huge problem with organized crime, and so having incentives for those actions. And in the case of Panama, similarly to Costa Rica, is not begging for aid, but is looking to have more trade. So we hope that they can make progress, and we understand that when economic crisis surface, sometimes the need for protectionism tends to surface, and it's hard to explain to our people why we have more unemployment, so we put up barriers to trade, but that would be a terrible mistake. We should continue to promote trade. Any other question or comment? And I'd like to say hello to the ambassadors of Costa Rica, Guatemala, El Salvador. Thank you for your presence here. It's an honor to have you.
I want to just make an observation here at the end. Our guest made history in her own country, history that we have not yet made in the United States, of being the first woman president.
Es la primera mujer presidente del país. Hizo historia en la última media hora. Voy a mirar los archivos, pero creo que es la primera vez que hemos tenido una discusión amplia en cuanto a temas totalmente en un idioma que no sea inglés. Y es un idioma de Norteamérica, pero creo que es algo positivo y demuestra que Brookings está progresando, se está convirtiendo en un mejor vecino para el resto del hemisferio.
Thank you, Stro. As you know, Gabriel García Márquez has this great phrase who says that the
Gabriel García Márquez dice que el idioma universal es el inglés mal hablado. Let's go on then. There was another question. Thank you very much, Ms. President. From the National Democratic Institute, we have a small project in the Northern Triangle of Central America that tries to foster dialogue within government that are national and municipal and the civil society. And my question is, can you discuss the experience of Costa Rica in terms of dialogue with different levels within government and the civil society, the police, and other projects, and as in your experience as Minister of Public Security? We may have time for one or two questions. Jorge Sapochnikov, previously with IDB, now with WOLA. President, according to the news, today you will be signing a sizable loan with the IDB for citizen safety. That is a commitment for security. We are thinking about the ability of Costa Rica to handle this issue and vis-à-vis the other countries in the Northern Triangle. How do you think that that imbalance can be overcome, thinking, as Mauricio said, that crime knows no borders and it is an infectious disease, actually, and if we don't handle it together and simultaneously, the problem will keep coming back? We have time for only one more question. And Castresana, if you are interested in making a comment. Hablamos del impacto de la criminalidad en la región. ¿Puede hablar de lo que mencionaron varios académicos, el impacto de la corrupción en las instituciones del Estado de Derecho? Porque la policía tiene el mismo impacto que las transnacional, el crimen transnacional en la región. I accept the invitation. There is a huge difference in Central America that favors Costa Rica on the rule of law issue. What I was in a mission for 3 years in Guatemala, but within the UN, we believe that cooperation, that in many senses is focused on transferring best practices in the Central American region, will be led by Costa Rica, because fortunately for you and your neighbors, is in a condition to export best practices for the rule of law issue in training or assigning prosecutors and police officers. And do you think that it is possible to have a common market for justice and security for Central America, wherein some countries can be donors and others be on the receiving end? It may be easier to have Costa Rican police officers helping in Guatemala rather than having Russian police officers there. And would it be possible to have like a common market for transferring technology where Colombian police officers specialized in certain security topics can be exported to the rest of the countries, for instance? About the dialogue applied to security, our experience is that it's very easy to get people interested. The main concern for most of our countries is that people are avid of being shown a way or how to do it. So it is easy to have a dialogue with people, find avenues for collaborating. What is difficult sometimes is to have a method for the dialogue. And in, because if we dialogue is to get better results, to improve, to have an impact, and sometimes people become interested. There's a first level of communication. Expectations are created, but we cannot translate it into concrete outcome. That's where we need to do more work. And there are many experiences that have been documented in the region of what is the philosophy for community security at the local level, where they're more successful, where when we get a good mayor that leads these efforts with the national police, the business sector, they have generally accomplished good results. So we have many success stories. Colombia has them as well. And we don't have to go too far, but to use what has happened. And being leaders have a method for creating outcomes. About the financial burden, this is similar to the environment, that each nation has an obligation to do its own work to mitigate the phenomena that goes outside its own borders. We cannot expect, and this happens to Costa Rica when we talk about the environment, we feel frustrated because we have worked seriously and we have used resources, and every time that there are climatic events, we are in an area where we get the most impact, and not because we're not doing our work, but because we're trying to do it correctly, but maybe not at the scale that needs to happen for a change to be seen. We are a small market, and in terms of fighting crime, we are collecting more taxes. We are committed to investing, but other nations have to accept responsibility on equal terms, and if that doesn't happen, it will be difficult to sustain. So we are sometimes frustrated because we want to do things right, but we receive externalities of those who are not doing it correctly. In terms of corruption within the institutions, no successful strategy against organized crime can be implemented if the institutions are not committed. That is a premise, a basic fundamental premise. And if a country has that challenge, the first thing they have to do is to clean up the institutions, have supervision and control of the police, and to review the sanctions. That will help. And if the media is independent, then they can help to report crimes, sometimes anonymously, and that is essential. Otherwise, this will not lead to a good fruition. And I would dare to say that there are problems of corruption in many countries in the region. Costa Rica is making an effort on the judicial power branch, and we still have problems to face. In the cases that we have seen judges acting inappropriately, the press has been the first one to report it, and then we have had investigations, and this has been clarified. Sometimes there have been punished. About the comments by Mr. Cartesana, I do believe that there is horizontal cooperation that we can exchange in the region, and Costa Rica is very interested in strengthening police techniques. And if we think about Colombia, I'd rather have this cooperation with Colombia. We are very similar in our idiosyncrasy. We understand each other. We have worked in circumstances of great difficulty, and we are improving our cooperation with Colombia in legal issues and police cooperation. We already have exchange, and in Central America, we would like to have more. There are some differences that explain that why the best practices may not be used interchangeably. In the Northern Triangle, they use the army to combat drug trafficking. We wouldn't be able to do that. But in other areas, we may. Thank you to the President, and I would like to recognize the Central American Bank for Economic Integration, because this alliance with Brookings will allow us to have spaces for discussion about Central American issues in an integrated way, to have comprehensive regional approaches to understand these topics. Thank you, Madam President. You are at home, and you know that the opportunity of addressing a U.S. audience is much appreciated. We wish you the best in your term, and we know that you can play a leading role in promoting these topics at a regional level and find spaces to have coordinated solutions to problems that go outside national borders. Thank you. And wish you well tomorrow at Georgetown. Thank you.